So Paul's letter to the Galatians became a very important letter in the course of the Reformation, not only because the Lord used it so much in Martin Luther's life, but because the dawning through that justification, being made right with God only through what Jesus has done and only through the instrumentality of faith, was so important. But because really in the Reformation, one of the things that was really being recaptured was a religion that was entirely by the power of God, entirely to the glory of God. This was at stake in the churches of Galatia. It seems like, if you compare Acts and the Pauline epistles, that this often happened. As soon as Paul had planted a church, he would appoint elders and then he would leave, and it seems like immediately false teachers would creep in, or possibly even rise up from among them, as he told the Ephesian elders in Acts 20 would occur. And so as Paul is opening this letter, it's one of the kind of briefest introductions, and a lot of those who study the letter notice that it's briefer than other introductions, and then immediately then in verse 6 he goes, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel." But as this letter is going to focus, not only that we are made right with God only by Christ, only through faith, but also that we are made effective in our Christian living, or we are empowered in our Christian living only through that same faith in Christ, where the operative principle is love for him, not an attempt to show our own greatness or any kind of drawing strength from within yourself, but a response of love to him. So that whereas when you're in being made right with God, you're completely passionate. You're only made right with God by what Jesus does. Even though in growing in Christ and becoming more like Christ, we're active, that activity still comes out of resting upon Christ and responding to him in love. It's not powered by the law. The law describes what it is. The law tells us what to do to be more like Jesus, but it does not give us any ability at all. The part that represents the whole for the law in the book of Galatians is circumcision. And you know, one of the key verses, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision is anything but faith, energized by, working by, but there are a lot of words for working, and it's the word that means energized or made effective by love. And so what we actually have in the introduction of verses 1 through 5 is not just a greeting, as many of you have probably discovered who have studied Paul's letters over the years. His greetings and his closings are also full of doctrine, full of theology. And what he's presenting is a reality, a redemption that belongs entirely to God. So he's going to describe for us in these five verses a ministry that comes only from God. A ministry that comes only from God, and that depends on a power that belongs only to God, and that brings blessings that come only from God, according to a plan that is devised exclusively or only by God unto a glory that belongs only to God. So first, he describes the ministry that comes only from God. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not from man, not from men, nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. There are two reasons why Paul would say this in verse 1. First of all, there were false apostles. There were those to whom Jesus had not appeared, whom Jesus had not selected, whom Jesus had not sent as his own representative, who were claiming to be apostles. We already saw him in 2 Corinthians in particular when he starts talking about the super apostles. But the other reason he would say this is because there were some who were saying that Paul was not properly an apostle. Because after all, Paul was converted. After the Lord Jesus had ascended to heaven, after Pentecost, he had been a persecutor of the church. And so Paul was reminding them that it was the risen Jesus, whom God the Father had raised from the dead, verse 1, who had appeared to him and selected him to be an apostle. It is a ministry that comes only from God. And therefore, it's a ministry that cannot be ignored and ought not be counterfeited. This is one of the reasons why Flawed, as elders often not only can be, but of course they are, but flawed as they often are in their eldership, we must recognize that this is Jesus' way of governing us, that Jesus is the one who has redeemed, gifted, called men to the eldership. It's another reason why we ought to be very careful about how the elders of the church are recognized and ordained. In far too many of the churches, it's the guys who seem to have influence or successful in the business world, or even, sadly enough, the relatively few who are actually willing to do it. It is only Christ who makes an apostle, and apostles are listed in that list in Ephesians 4. Among those gifts that the risen Christ, who led captivity captive, and then he gives gifts among men. What does this describe? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor teachers. And so this is a ministry that comes only from God. Therefore, on the one hand, be careful against counterfeit ministry, and we can all do this, especially if you less and less seek counsel from the elders that Christ has set over you, and more just look stuff up online. You kind of do the whole, okay, Google, and then you ask whatever your question is, and there's some spiritual advice. That's not how Christ is designed to shepherd you. I love not just the sound of Sinclair Ferguson's voice. I love his exegesis, his exposition, his application. But Sinclair Ferguson is not your minister. In God's providence to you, the preaching that he has given you to sit under is the preaching here. There ought to be a confidence in Christ's method for growing us in him, for guarding us in him, and for guiding us in him. So it's a ministry that comes from God. And the reason we commit ourselves to that ministry, the reason they ought to stick to Paul's apostleship, is because that ministry that comes only from God is dependent upon a power that belongs only to God. Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. My dear brothers and sisters, this is not therapy. This is not wise enough and self-aware enough to come to somebody who can help you think through things, and you come up with a plan, and because you recognize that you needed help and they're so good at giving help, and because of the plan that you come up with, that's going to produce the effect. Okay, that's what therapy is like. Well, I'm sorry, but growing in Christ, putting sin to death more and more, and actually having the life of Jesus grow in you more and more, cannot be accomplished by man. It requires the continuous exercise of resurrection power. And that's why, whatever else you can get from everything else, we need to stick to the ordinary means of grace, day by day in the home, week by week in the congregation, because this is what Jesus has given as the primary way by which he grows us. And the growth that we are looking for actually needs resurrection power to be exercised. And you can't find that anywhere else but Jesus. And so that's why we must do things only his way, because we're looking for things to be done that can be done only by his power. And that power gives blessings that can come only from him. So Paul, an apostle, not from man nor through man, but through Jesus Christ, and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you. We've taken the time to open it up before, but most of you can probably remember blessing for those who deserve only curse and strength for those who have only weakness. That is the essence of grace. In other words, it is these gloriously good things for those who have no claim and no ability in themselves. It is a blessing that can come only from God. Grace to you, blessing and strength from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, and peace. The peace that is described here is a peace that is first of all, outside us. One of the reasons why we cannot have peace of mind, we cannot have peace of heart, is because we are always before the face of God. We are always interacting with Him, whether we admit it or not. Therefore, as long as we have guilt before God, as long as we are in a condition of being His enemies, being rebels against Him, we cannot ultimately have internal peace. You cannot feel peaceful as long as you know that. There are ways of thinking that are kind of like drugs in the world, actually. But there are things that you can do to try and shut down your ability to process things genuinely. But that's just an illusion of peace. That's like the other prophets at the time of Jeremiah saying, "Peace, peace, where there is no peace." And you can watch all the talking head shows. It seems to be mostly women talking heads these days. I had enjoyed a wonderful extended reprieve from television, but then I started going to the gym and I got a million of them. And it is just shocking. The people that I'm assuming, because these shows are still there, so there must be people watching them because the advertisers are still being advertising. The people that are selling peace on TV, and you look at these people and you listen to what they're saying, you think, how can anyone have peace from that way of thinking when they don't actually have peace with God? Peace comes first externally in Jesus killing the enmity between us and God. Peace comes from laying down our arms, submitting to Christ, and rejoicing that He has taken us not only from being in a position of enmity towards God to a position of alliance or friendship towards God, but even that we might be adopted as God's own dear children. So that we might come to Genesis 14 and be reminded that our God, who gave Himself for us and who has adopted us as His own dear children, He is the possessor of heaven and earth. It doesn't matter who owns what, because God owns all of it. And in whoever's possession it seems to be, God is using it for my good. I can't lose anything ever, because it is always being employed to do me good. Now that certainty of external peace with God that we have received in Jesus Christ, that's where internal peace comes from. And you can't get that from therapy. You can't get that from any kind of self-help or help from others. These are blessings that come only from God. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for our sins, that He might deliver us from this present evil age. In other words, There is nothing in this world, in this life, in fallen man, that can help us, because the very thing from which God is delivering us, He might deliver us from this present evil age. The blessings that can come only from God, according to a plan that is devised exclusively by God, according to the will of our God and Father. God's plan. He is the one who comes up with this. So the problem with the Galatians is they were laying other things alongside the gospel, as if there was something else that we could add. He says, you can't add to what God has planned. It's His plan. It's not open to your revision or your enhancement unto a glory that is only unto God. Verse 5, to Him be glory forever and ever. Amen. So what is really at stake in this question of justification by grace alone through faith alone, or sanctification by faith working through love, or the life of Christ in us, powering our growth in godliness through a loving response to Him, what's really at stake is who will be God? That's what Paul's saying in this introduction. He's saying it's ministry from God, depending on the power of God, for blessings that come only from God, according to a plan that is devised by God, all unto the glory of God. And so if you monkey around with it, you're actually attacking the place where God Himself belongs. So it's not just, hey, how are you doing? It's Paul here, and I'm writing to you some of some Galatians. There's a lot of rich theology in here that is very important, because when we get into the nitty-gritty of it, we need to be remembering still that what is at stake is that this would be ministry from God, depending on God's power, for blessings that come from God according to God's plan unto God's glory.